I went to Ukraine many years ago and preached on Easter Day. I'd never been there before, so I didn't know what to expect. And in my sermon, one sentence I said, Jesus is alive. Unknown to me, the translator translated it as Christ is risen. I said, Jesus is alive. He said in Ukrainian, Christ is risen. Everybody stood up to their feet and said, He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And I thought, what have I done? What have I said? Well, I won't do that to you this morning. But He is risen indeed. And we can say, Hallelujah. Let's pray as we come to His word. Father, we pray this morning that we will have a sense of freshness as we think about a familiar story. We pray that we will be reminded and experience the fact that not only that Jesus rose, but that you are alive now and reign with the Father on high. Amen. Now, I don't know whether you have any family rituals when it comes to holiday times. We've got one at Christmas when we tend to have pancakes for breakfast on Christmas morning. Many a Christmas Eve, I've been going around the supermarkets trying to find maple syrup to go with it because we've not thought that far ahead. But many people have traditions for Easter. Does anybody have one in their family? Did anybody do anything this morning that was a little bit different because it's Easter Day? Yeah? You're finding chocolate bunnies in a carrot. Very good. Yeah, that's right. Okay, chocolate bunnies in a carrot. I did see the carrots in the shop and wondered about them. Anybody else have any Easter traditions? Nobody have any Easter traditions? All right. No. Yes, at the back over there. You have to shout very loudly. Someone relay it to me, please. Erica's doing the marathon practice for next week. We've got an interpreter coming along, so yeah.
It's like Ukraine.
Oh, yeah.
So they have boiled eggs for breakfast, and then they paint them and do Easter bonnets on
fantastic.
The boiled eggs.
Oh, fantastic. Boiled eggs, painted boiled eggs. That's a great one. Well, lots of people have those sort of traditions for Easter. Some of you may have seen a video this week about a little girl in Scotland talking about Easter. And she said, they force chocolate on us. All the time, they're telling us not to eat chocolate, and now they're forcing chocolate on us. And she's absolutely right, isn't it? You know, it's really like a chocolate quantitative easing with billions of calories being released into the economy on one day. Who knows what that will do for the nation's health as a result. But she also said, I don't get this about eggs and bunnies. And I had to say, I think I don't either. She said, I don't get this about eggs and bunnies. Bunnies don't lay eggs. So, well, those sort of have become part of the Easter tradition. Who likes Easter eggs? Yeah, that's right. Whatever we say about the billions of calories. But who likes buying Easter eggs? Or who doesn't like buying Easter eggs, rather? That's me. I hate going around the shop to buy Easter eggs. It's a nightmare. Who do you get the right one for? Oh, backwards and forwards between Sainsbury's and Waitrose. It's terrible. Now, I even returned some to Waitrose, which was probably one of the few people to return Easter eggs before Easter. But anyway. But it's not just at Easter and festivals like Christmas that we have rituals. There are other times when we have rituals, when we have habits, things that we do that are important and out of familiarity. And one of those times is when people die. When there's a death in the family or amongst our friends, I think it's something which is changing, but it is something which has been part of our tradition. When I was a child, if one of the neighbours died or someone in the street, all the neighbours closed their curtains until after the funeral was over as a mark of respect for the person who had died. I don't think that happens so much now, but still, when it comes to a funeral, people often wear black to the extent that some families say, please don't wear black because we want it to be a more joyful occasion. But we have rituals, we have habits that tell us something about the occasion. The Jews used to mourn at the grave over the first 3 days after the death. And the reason for that was that they believed that for 3 days, the spirit was still alongside the body. And it was only after 3 days that the spirit finally departed and the body was there, simply dead, cold in the grave. So over those 3 days, that was a time when Jews were expected to go to a graveside to mourn, to pay their respects. And that, in a way, is what Mary, in our reading, was doing this morning. We read that Mary Magdalene, who was a lady who had got a history of following Jesus, she had been healed by Jesus from evil spirits who were in her. She was one of the people, Luke tells us, who supported Jesus financially. There were a group of women who supported him financially to do his work. She was at the crucifixion when Jesus died. And Luke tells us that when he was buried, she went and looked, and she saw his burial, and she saw how the body was laid and where it was laid. So she was someone who had been there all the way through and had observed these things. But the day after Jesus' death was the Sabbath, and that was a day when they couldn't do anything else. So on the Sabbath, she stayed away. But as soon as the Sabbath was over, even while it was still dark, she went to the grave to visit. She went to see what was happening. She went, I think, really to pay her respects. She went to mourn. She went partly because that was the tradition, but also because Jesus was so special to her, so important to her. There were other women there, but John only focuses on Mary. It's interesting, verse 2, Mary goes to Peter and says, "We don't know where they've put him." So there were other women there, but she's the only one that John talks about here. He focuses on Mary because she was such an important person in this story. What is interesting is that nobody was expecting Jesus to rise again from the dead. She didn't go to see whether he had risen. She didn't go to see whether his body was still there. She went to mourn. And often people today say, well, you know, they were looking for him to rise. They were expecting it. It was a sort of a, something which had to happen. So they imagined it almost because that was what they expected. Nothing could be further from the truth if we read the accounts in the Gospels. The last thing anybody expected was for Jesus to rise. That was something which just had not dawned on them. Despite all the things that Jesus had said about his death, that was hard enough for them to get. They didn't really expect that he would die, let alone rise again. That was a struggle for them. They weren't expecting Jesus to rise. And so when Mary got to the tomb, what she found was that the big stone which covered the entrance to the tomb wasn't there. Now, if she'd been expecting Jesus to rise, I think she would have gone to the tomb. She'd said, "The stone is gone. He's risen. Where is he?" She didn't. She went to the tomb. She saw that there was no stone there. And she said, "What have they done with him? Someone's taken his body. Where has he gone?" She rushed off. She went to find Peter and John. And it's interesting that Peter, even though he was the one who only hours before almost had betrayed Jesus and had denied that he was a follower of Jesus, she still went to him. She still respected him. He was still important. And Peter and John rushed off to see what on earth she was talking about. What has happened at the grave? What do we need to do? And John got there first, probably younger. Possibly lighter, and not been eating chocolate. And he got there first, and what they saw was what she had said. They saw that the stone had gone, the grave was open, the tomb, the cave was open, and inside were the grave clothes that had wrapped Jesus up. Do you remember I said that she had seen the burial and knew how he'd been buried and where the body was and what. She now saw it without the body, but with the grave clothes. And it says about the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. It hadn't been unwrapped. It was still lying in its place, folded. Now, I don't really know any Greek. Moussaka is my limit when it comes to Greek. But people who do know something about Greek tell me that this description of the cloth isn't just as simple as it looks. What it says is that the cloths were as they were when the body had been in it, but they were just flat. They had collapsed. This wasn't like Lazarus, where Jesus told them to unwrap the body. This body had come out of the clothes without the clothes being unwrapped. No wonder they found this difficult to make sense of, difficult to understand. They saw the grave clothes still in place, but there was no body. And so they went back home. But Mary stayed there. Mary stayed weeping, mourning. That's what she'd gone for. She'd gone to mourn, and even worse, the body had been taken away. How sad. Her friend, the person who was so important to her, seemed there. Maybe someone had robbed the grave. Maybe the authorities had taken it away to do something with it, but it wasn't good news for Mary, and she was very sad. There were two angels, though, at the tomb. And somebody made an interesting comment that Jesus died between two criminals and rose between two angels. Two angels at the tomb. And they ask her a bit sort of, not quite roughly, but straightforwardly, why are you crying? You'd think it's fairly obvious, wouldn't it? Why are you crying? Well, they knew what the story was. And they Mary said, they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him. And she turned around, and there was someone standing there. She assumed it was the gardener, but it was Jesus. She didn't recognize him. She'd gone there to mourn. He was this person who was so important to her. She didn't recognize him. If she'd been expecting something to happen, she would have recognized him straight away. But she didn't. She didn't even know who he was. And it was only when he said, Mary, that suddenly things clicked. His voice was what did it. Mary. She said, teacher. Rabboni is the Aramaic word. Teacher, you're there. Suddenly, the darkness had passed. Suddenly, the reality had dawned that Jesus really was alive. The body had not been stolen. The authorities were not playing political games. Jesus had risen. He was alive. He was risen indeed. Hallelujah. Although I don't think she said that. But Jesus was alive. And he told her to go off and tell the other disciples. And she went to them. And what did she say? She said, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. What fantastic news. I have seen the Lord. Well, it was a bigger surprise to them than it was to us. The trouble we have with this story is, even if we don't believe it, we know what the story is. We know what's supposed to have happened. But none of them did know that. None of them expected it. It was all news to them that Jesus of Nazareth had risen from the dead. What a surprise to them. I think there's an important lesson for us here. And it's this. And it's that you don't have to be someone special to know that Jesus is alive. You don't have to be special to meet Jesus. When Jesus was born, the first people to know about it were shepherds. people who didn't really count, people who were the lowest of the low, really, in many ways. They were the first ones to know that Jesus had been born. And when Jesus rose, the first to know was someone whose evidence wouldn't have been accepted in court because she was a woman. Faithful follower of Jesus, but one whose evidence wouldn't have been accepted, and yet she was the one who first knew that Jesus was alive. What was important was that she wanted to know Jesus. She wanted to be with him. And maybe for us that's part of the question. Do we really want to know Jesus? Or do we stay at a distance? Do we keep at arm's length from him? Are we serious about wanting to know Jesus? If we want to know Jesus, if we want to know the risen Jesus, we need to look for him. You might have been thinking about this strange shape that's been behind me, trying to work out what it is. Can you see there are four dots in a row? Can you see the four dots in a row? What I want you to do is to just focus on those four dots, if you can see them. Some of you at the back may need to change your lenses or something like that. But look at those four dots. And just look at them and nothing else for 30 seconds. And I'm going to time it, okay? 30 seconds starting now, looking at those four dots. Just focus on them. Don't look at anything else. Focus on the four dots. And we'll see what happens. We'll do an experiment in a moment. 10 seconds left. Focus on the four dots. Now, I don't know whether this is going to work or not. So let's see, okay? 30 seconds up. Close your eyes. Can anybody see anything? What can you see?
The face of Jesus.
The face of Jesus. You might have been looking at that all the way through, thinking, what on earth is that strange shape? How many did see something? How many didn't see anything? Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? I can see some people are going to be wanting to try again later on. But sometimes we don't see things because it doesn't work. But sometimes we don't see things because we don't really look. We've all been looking. But sometimes people aren't really looking for Jesus. And maybe you've avoided Jesus. Maybe you're happy with festivals like Christmas and Easter. You like the Easter eggs, you like the Christmas cards. But what about Jesus? How important is Jesus? Are you really keen to know him? Are you serious about meeting him? Mary's story is of someone who is serious about Jesus. Someone who is serious about Jesus, even when she thought he wasn't alive, even when she thought he was cold in the tomb and dead. She still wanted to know. Today is a day when maybe you can start to look for Jesus. Even better, maybe today is a day when you find Jesus. When, like Mary, you meet him. When, in a way, you hear his voice. And you say, teacher, you recognize him. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you looking for him? Because he wants to meet you. Amen.